I will find out the young lady's name who is going to be our guest pianist for 2 weeks, because I've been given two different names, so I'm not really sure what her name is, but I think we should give her a send her a thank you card. What? Shelley. That's what one person told me. Somebody else told me it was Sherry, so I think we lose something in translation from Chinese to English, but it was so funny. I gave him the list of songs, and she's like, I can't play that many songs. That's what she told her pastor. And I said, why not? Well, she doesn't know them. So her pastor and her came over to the office Friday night, I think it was, late Friday night. And she says, I don't know these songs. I'm like, okay, let's open up a songbook. And I just started singing them. And she goes, I know that. She said, hum a few bars. I don't hum well, but I could sing the song. The only problem is she knows them in Mandarin, and I know them in English. So once she figured out, they're just like their songs. Shelley is the celloist who was here for the Christmas cantata. She's the young lady that played the cello during the Christmas cantata. And she plays in a symphony, so it's a blessing to have a young lady step up to the plate. And even though she was a little bit concerned about playing so many songs in an English congregation, but oh, seven days, 1 hour and 34 minutes. If my daughter's on time, we will be having a wedding in Rhode Island. And everybody says, or hallelujah. I keep texting her. I'm doing the countdown on the phone for her every day. And she doesn't think her dad knows how to do math, because I'm counting when it's over. But you can pray for our family. I'm traveling Tuesday morning. I have the first flight out on Tuesday morning. My son and his family are flying out that afternoon from here. My brother and his family are flying from Phoenix, Arizona later on in the week. And we have friends that are driving from Arizona to Massachusetts for the wedding. A little nuts, but that's what they want to do. Huh? Yeah, these are actually, if she gives a prize for long distance, those of you that are familiar with Awana, her Sparks directors are missionaries in Cameroon, Africa today, and they are going to the wedding. They're in the States for medical reasons, and his mom or her, one of their parents is about to go home to be with the Lord, so they're home for that, but they're going to be traveling back for the wedding also. So it's going to be an interesting, they're predicting rain today, and this is, for those of you that don't know, it's an outdoor wedding. So I'm going to find a slip and slide, because if it's raining, we're going to do the wedding and then we're going to have fun on a slip and slide. They told me I only have to stay dressed up through the ceremony and then I can take my tie off, so that's kind of fun. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to come into your house to gather together this morning, and Father, to look into your word. And Father, I just pray that you'll guide us and direct us this morning in what we should learn from your word. And we pray this in your most precious name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 7. Talking about rain. This is probably the rainstorm. Actually, we know this is the rainstorm of all rainstorms that has ever happened or ever will happen on the face of the earth. And this is God's punishment for the evil that is in the world. And I continually go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, when I think about why God decided to flood the world. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." Can you imagine what it must have been like for it to be so bad that God said, "I'm done"? We had a perfect creation 10 generations ago. If you look at the genealogy, you realize it hasn't been that long. It was perfect on the face of the earth. And now every thought and intent of the heart was evil continually. So God says, "I'm done. I am going to wipe out every single thing that lives." We've looked at the construction of the ark. Massive, massive. I actually sat with a napkin this week and a calculator and was doing recalculations to figure out if I knew what I was talking about. This is a big boat. Lots of square footage. Verse 10 of chapter 7 says, "And it came to pass after 7 days, the waters of the flood were on the earth." There's two waters. It's all H2O. But you're going to discover as we look at this, it didn't rain first. Because what did God do in Genesis chapter 1? No, go a little farther than, well, in part of creation, what did he do? He separated the water from the water. And today, actually all you have to do is drive to my hometown. You know what? We don't have lakes. We have rivers, but they don't flow unless it's monsoon season. So where does a massive town, you ever been to Phoenix, Arizona? Where's the river and the lakes that supply the water for Phoenix, Arizona? Under the ground. The city of Tucson, Arizona, has over 2,000 water wells, some of them going down almost 1,000 feet for water. There are huge, massive lakes all over the world underground today. All over the world. Guess what? At the time of the flood, what did God do? In the 600th year, Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, and on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up." So where did the first water come from? It came from underground. Scientists believe that it was volcanic activity. Who's the scientist here? What's the volcano's temperature? Hot. They believe that the volcano activity is part of the eruption, and all of the debris that it was throwing up, this is one scientist's view, is that it actually blew holes in the canopy of the firmament, which was above the earth. I don't believe that. I believe that simultaneously God said, "Let it rain," and the earth heaved, and the rain came from above. But that's what we see here. We see that the fountains of the great deep were broken up. That's all that underground water came up. We're going to get to Mount Ararat. Anybody know what Mount Ararat's significance is here? That's where Noah's Ark is today. It came to land on Mount Ararat. You know Mount Ararat is shorter today than it was in 1980? Mount Ararat is a volcano. Last eruption was 1980. Now it's covered with snow again. I looked at a picture of it live today. It's covered in snow. That's where the boat is. We'll get to there. But it says the fountains of the deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. I did an illustration one time in a water club about water, and I opened a window. The kids didn't know. I'm teaching, and they're all facing me. I had one of the elders of the church outside with a bucket of water. And at one point in my message, when the windows opened up and the rain came, they threw that bucket of water through the window. Don't panic. The windows are all closed. Can you imagine? Now, Noah can't see this. But can you imagine the other billions of people that were on the face of the earth when the ground heaved and the water came forth and the sky opened up like it had never rained before. They didn't know what rain was. And God opened up every faucet there was and dumped water on the face of the earth. We know what rain is. Most of us know what rain is. We don't see a whole lot of it here. But imagine it has never rained on the face of the earth before. But imagine the climate change once this is done. Because now the whole cycle is going to change from God's original intention. His original intention was it was never to rain. The atmosphere was perfect. Everything grew because God took care of that water through climate control. You ever heard of the biosphere? Stan's a scientist. He's heard of biosphere. It's a place that was built in the middle of the desert to grow plants in a controlled environment where it never rains on them. I'm not sure how well it works, but God's plan was working up to then. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Genesis chapter 7, verse 12. On the very same day, Noah, Noah's son, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his son with him, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird of its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, and all flesh went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Somebody asked me a very interesting question the other day, and somebody out there is probably really smart. What is Noah's wife's name? Mrs. Noah, or Noah's wife. Somebody said, how did Noah build the door to keep the water out? He built it God's way. And you know, who closed the door? Noah didn't close the door. God shut them in. If God shut them in, don't you think God's got enough power to seal that door to where it doesn't leak? I think in the construction of the ark, God told him how to build that door to where it would seal. But God closed the door. Somebody asked it, I know who it was, I talked to somebody the other day, why don't we need to know where the ark is? We know where it is. How come we don't need to unearth that ark? God told us it was there. And if God tells us it's there, then guess what? It's there. How do you know it's there? You've never seen it. You've never touched it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do I know there was a worldwide flood? God's Word says so. But you know what? You want to do some research? You want to really find some interesting things? Do you know that in the world history of every civilization has recorded a worldwide flood. There are over 210 recorded worldwide flood events in ancient history from all over the world. Now, a lot of them are not biblical accounts of the flood. They want to equate it to something else, but 210 separate accounts of a worldwide flood. Jeff, how many witnesses do you need to convict somebody of something? Two witnesses. So if there's 210 accounts of a worldwide flood, let's see, could it maybe have happened? I think so. A lot of skeptics say, oh, it was a localized flood. Let's see. Genesis chapter 7.